Welcome to Walking in Faith, featuring interviews and reviews that help you rediscover the Catholic faith in our culture. And now here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Welcome to Walking in Faith. This week we're focusing on a great topic, keeping your faith in college. First up, we turn the mics over to two students from FOCUS, which is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and they're based out of Temple University in Philadelphia. Vince Sartori and Lindsay Schreffler. And they're going to conduct a conversational interview amongst themselves about the FOCUS program right here in Philadelphia. And then following that, we have Aurora Griffin. She is the author of a book called How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard. So we'll bring you those interviews right now.
Welcome. Welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. We're coming to you from the Temple University Newman Center, the Catholic Church on campus at Temple University. My name is Vince Sartori. I'm a missionary with FOCUS, and I'm joined by Lindsay Schreffler, who is also a missionary with FOCUS. FOCUS stands for the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. It's a missionary organization serving college students throughout the United States of America. And we're here to talk to you a little bit about what FOCUS is, what's happening here at Temple University, and the exciting thing that offers to members of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and students throughout the country. So let's begin the program with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for this day. We ask that you would bless us and bless all of those listening with grace. Allow us to give you glory in all things. Allow us to know you and your Son more fully this day. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said, we're missionaries with FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And again, my name is Vince Sartori. I want to ask Lindsay, what is FOCUS? What does it mean to be a FOCUS missionary?
So what is FOCUS? That's a great question. FOCUS is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and what we are is an army of 550 young missionaries who are given years of our lives to serve on college campuses to invite students into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His Church. Currently, we serve on about 125 campuses across the United States. And one thing that's really exciting is that we are here in Philadelphia at Temple University. So I am one of five missionaries serving at Temple, and what we do is we commit an entire year to being on campus, to inviting students into a relationship with Christ and walking with them as they grow in their faith journey.
Yeah, that's really exciting. So that's like kind of the big picture FOCUS. Could you maybe explain a little bit more about what is it that you do with a college student, or what is it that like the five missionaries at Temple actually do to reach more people?
Great question, Vince. Yeah, so people, when you think of a missionary, it's not something that we typically hear about in the United States. We hear a lot about international missions, but what is being a missionary in the U.S. on a college campus look like? And what it is it boils down to win, build, and send. So the win, well, we go out to win the friendship of a college student, so that winning the right to be heard and to enter into real, authentic community and friendships with students. How we do this, we have events on campus, we go to organizations and clubs to meet students, meet them on campus where they're at, wherever they are in life. And then from there, we're able to invite them into a relationship with Christ. The win is essentially building friendships with them. And then we move into the build. The build is to walk with a student in their faith and be able to, through the sacraments and through prayer and through time in adoration with the Eucharist, to introduce them to the person of Jesus Christ and the love that He has for them, to build them up in their faith, to help them, to bring them to an encounter with Christ and his church. And then from there, once somebody meets Christ, they don't want to keep that to themselves. So what we do is we help them to be sent out. We send them to share this encounter that they've had with the person of Jesus with their friends and their peers on campus. Ways that we do that are by helping them share the gospel with their friends, share their testimony with other people, lead Bible studies, and lead other students into a relationship, their own relationship with Jesus. So Vince, you know, I've known you for a while. You started back at the University of Pittsburgh as a student missionary. Can you tell us a little bit about a time where you used this win, build, send model to help someone else grow in their faith?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, so as a student, my sophomore year, I was studying industrial engineering at the University of Pittsburgh, and I had set out to try and start my own Bible study. And as I'm like going out to engage some of my friends and some of the freshman engineers, a couple of guys in particular just showed a little bit more interest of being involved, but I could tell that they were like into their own things too. So the guys' names were Justin and Ben, and Justin and Ben were very different guys, but very good guys. And so Justin was someone that liked rap music a lot. I didn't necessarily naturally relate to him on a lot of different levels. And then Ben was this like quiet kid who I'm pretty sure just got straight A's his whole life. And just, yeah, was someone that like you could tell just was very intellectually gifted. And so one thing that we all had in common though was we loved to play pickup basketball. So a real natural way for me to enter into their lives was every Friday from about 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we would play pickup basketball in the rec hall there at Pitt. And this was just a good way for me to get to know them, to compete with them, do something shoulder to shoulder. And in the meantime, outside of that, like couple hours of hanging out, playing basketball afterwards, we would maybe like go back to someone's dorm room and just talk about stuff or just relax a little bit. We also were in a Bible study together. So I led their Bible study, but instead of just being Vince, this guy who is a Bible study leader who spends an hour a week telling me about scripture, I was Vince, this guy who is my friend, who also happens to be in the Bible study I'm in. And so Justin and Ben, you could see like as their freshman year wore on and on more, they started asking better and better questions in Bible study. They started becoming more and more engaged. And I think a lot of that was because they learned that they could trust me with things, that it wasn't just a matter of proving how much they knew about scripture, but actually how much they desired to like know the Lord more. Throughout that year, I saw them go from maybe coming to Mass every Sunday to growing into, they were coming to daily Mass once or twice a week. They were praying every day. They were literally coming to the chapel to spend time with the Lord in the midst of like this busyness of being an engineering student. So it was a really cool thing. And so they were like won over in a friendship. And then they started getting built up through this Bible study. And then by their sophomore year, you could see by the middle of their sophomore year, they were really desirous to go and share this with their peers, with their friends. So they started inviting their friends actually to our basketball group. And so our basketball group grew from a group of 5 guys to about 15. And we were able to run our own games against each other because Ben and Justin had just invited so many other people that they knew to this group. And then from those other guys, they started their own Bible studies. And actually, to this day, the Bible studies that we started, there's still like people that both Ben, Justin, and myself led that have taught others at Pitt that are Bible studies are still happening from them. So a really cool thing about students just going out and continuing to engage their peers and that going on and that's still living out. And yeah, that's kind of the win, build, send there.
That's really neat to see how that during their time in college was really a time that change the way that they live the rest of their lives because of the experience that they had from these friendships and from encountering Christ through Bible study and through interactions and the sacraments. Can you tell us a little bit about why college campuses? Why is this a place that's important for us to be reaching out?
Yeah, I mean, so a college campus, right? Like we need missionaries to work in our elementary schools and in our high schools. We need missionaries to do postgraduate work with young adults or with families. We need missionaries in third world countries. So why United States college students? Why it's the essence of our apostolate. So you look at the 18 to 22 year old bracket. Here are the future like leaders of our business world, of our government, of our local communities. Here are our future fathers and mothers. Here are our future participants in parish life. And here they are making decisions that will make monumental impacts on the next 40 plus years of their lives. You look at statistics right now, and they range a little bit, but anywhere between 80 to 85% of Catholic college students don't go to Mass on Sunday. You look, and God seems to be pretty far from the average college student's life. Here at Temple, there's like 20 or 30,000 students, and a third of them are Catholic. But yeah, you're not seeing that in the Mass attendance. And so why college students? Well, they're our future leaders. They're making decisions that will affect what they do for fun for the next 40 years, what career they'll have, what type of values they'll find in a spouse, and what type of parent they'll be, and what children they'll produce, if any. So it's this like huge breaking point in our culture, and just a lot of big decisions being made that we can enter into and bring Christ back into that conversation, a conversation he probably never should have been kept out of, but it clearly isn't part of right now, and to bring him more into that. Lindsay, I know you actually are excited to share a cool story about maybe even from those that 10 to 50 or that 20 to 15% that is coming to Mass every Sunday. That doesn't even mean that they're like living out that faith dynamically as a Catholic, or maybe even necessarily believing or going, like they're just kind of going through the motions. And I know you have a story in mind to share from here regarding a student in that type of situation.
Yeah, there are a lot of, like you said, Vince, it's a lot of students here are Catholic at Temple. We go out on campus sometimes and just talk to people and have faith conversations with them. And a lot of them say, yeah, I am Catholic, but when I came to college, I stopped going to Mass. I stopped practicing my faith or really engaging in that way. And we do have many students coming to Mass. And one of the really awesome opportunities of being on a college campus is not only it's to see these students really become engaged in their faith by means of an invitation. There's this one student now, she's currently a junior at Temple. Her name is Laura, and Laura started at Temple a couple years ago, and when she came to campus, she had grown up Catholic, had the faith taught to her, she was engaged in it with her family growing up, but then when she came to college, she knew that going to Mass was important, and she needed to do that every Sunday, and so she continued going to Mass, but really didn't get involved in much else. She did at the beginning of her career, her college career, she signed up for a Bible study, and there was a missionary here who was leading the Bible study, and that missionary invited her to Bible study every single week. She would text Laura and say, hey, Laura, do you want to come to Bible study? And every week, Laura made up an excuse as to why she couldn't go, whether it was too much homework or she had practice for her club volleyball team. Every week, it was something different until into her sophomore year, Laura felt that she had hit rock bottom. She wasn't happy with her classes. She didn't feel like she was getting fulfillment from her different clubs. She felt like she was missing something. And that day, that missionary texted her once again, hey, Laura, do you want to come to Bible study tonight? And so Laura went to Bible study. And she started to go every week to make this decision to put aside one extra hour a week to learn more about Scripture, to learn about the person of Jesus Christ. And in that, through that, her life changed. She was able to have all of her questions answered. She really came to encounter Christ. Laura started going to adoration every week. She started coming to daily Mass. She made friendships with the women in her Bible study who she felt like they were real friendships, unlike any others that she had before, because they were centered on growing in faith. They were centered on something greater than just going out and partying or being friends because they were in the same class or whatever reason. And externally, it didn't look like a lot of Laura's actions changed. You know, before she was going to Sunday Mass every week, and after she started to experience all this, she was going to Sunday Mass every week, but everything had changed for her. Her that the why of what she did absolutely reoriented her life in every aspect of it. Her major's still the same, but her outlook on why she does what she does is completely different because she met the person of Jesus Christ.
That's an amazing story. I mean, just how remarkable it is to hear someone like that just come alive in the faith even more. Those are why we do what we do, you know, as missionaries. Something that always touches my heart. It's great to hear a story like that. It sounds like things at Temple are going pretty well. If that was the only story, I think things would be going well. But maybe, Lindsay, could you share a little bit more about what's happening here at the Newman Center? What's kind of the focus program look like here at Temple?
Yeah, great question. There are a lot of exciting things going on here at Temple in terms of the Catholic faith. I think one of the things that's the most exciting are the student leaders that we have on campus right now. Right now we have over 20 student leaders who have said yes to growing in their faith and their relationship with Jesus, but also intentionally giving that to others and sharing it with others. So these students are ones who give time every week to go out on campus, to engage their peers, to meet them where they're at, get to know them as people, and then build them up. These students, many of them lead small group Bible studies. They attend and bring friends to adoration and the sacraments every week. And then they not only do this, but then they are teaching others to do the same. They're teaching others how to bring their friends along as well into the faith, into the different events on campus. So as I said, we've got over 20 students who are actively engaged in this way. These 20 students, along with the team of the five missionaries that I mentioned before who are here, lead over 25 weekly Bible studies, which means that over 130 students are actively coming to Bible study every week. Every week, these students are putting aside an hour of their time to delve deep into Scripture and encountering God and what He has to teach them through His Word. Another exciting thing that we have is every week we have a spaghetti dinner on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. And each week it draws about 80 to 90 students who come just for fellowship, just to be together, to hang out. Recently I was talking to a group of students who said that after sitting down at one of these meals, they, as we were talking in a conversation, said that they can't remember a meal that they had this week that they were with other people laughing and talking, but they were in front of their homework or in front of a screen of some sort. So they saw that even just a meal together every week is the opportunity for people to grow in fellowship here on campus. And one of the things that I'm most excited about this year is the opportunity to bring Temple students to SEEK Conference. So this year, Focus is holding a national conference in San Antonio, Texas, and we're hoping to bring 70 students from Temple University to this conference. SEEK Conference is a gathering of over 10,000 college students from across the United States who want to grow in their faith. The conference is going to be held this January 3rd through the 7th in San Antonio, Texas. And what it is it's an opportunity for college students to encounter the person of Jesus Christ. At the conference, they'll be able to attend talks by prominent Catholic speakers. They'll be able to celebrate Mass together with thousands of people their age who want to know more about the faith. They'll have the opportunity to adore Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, and many of them will go to confession during their time there, and some of those people for the first time in years. So it's really, really exciting opportunity for students to partake in. I believe that if just 70 students out of the 30,000 at Temple come to this conference, attend this conference, that not only will their lives be changed by this experience and this encounter with Jesus, but they will be so excited from what they've gained from this experience that they'll want to bring that back to campus and share it with their friends and peers here. SEEK Conference is exciting not only because it will change the lives of these 70 students who can come, but also change the lives of those around them when they come back. This is something that will not only change the face of Temple's campus, but will actually change lives in the entire Archdiocese of Philadelphia, since many students from Temple, after graduating, will go back and live and be a part of parishes in this Archdiocese.
Lindsay, it sounds like obviously I'm really excited about too. It sounds like a really awesome opportunity for Temple students. So maybe for those listening who aren't on a Focus campus or aren't at Temple, Do they have the opportunity to come to see conference as a college student?
Absolutely. Yeah, any college student is welcome to come.
How would they, where would they go to find out where to be, where how to register and stuff?
Yeah, they can go on to seek2017.com to find out more information. And also that's the place to go to register for the conference.
Fantastic. Yeah, I know for me personally, I went to my first Seek conference 10 years ago. It was really that long ago. And it was a life-changing moment for me at that conference. And I didn't even really want to be there, but it literally changed the course of my life. So it's a really awesome opportunity. It's something where there's hundreds of priests, there's bishops. It's just a way for people to see the universal church in a whole new light. Because on that day-to-day basis, right, it's always great to see Father at Mass, or every once in a while, maybe you'll go down the cathedral and see Archbishop. But yeah, very rarely are we connected with the church at large. And Seek Conference is a way for us to connect with so many other people from across the country and even the world. Yeah, I know, as exciting of an opportunity as it is, and all of those great things that would obviously make me want to go, do you maybe have any stories about some of the fruit from the last time Temple took students to Seek Conference?
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful. I was able to go last time. We brought a group of students from Temple 2 years ago to the last Seek Conference, and the effects of what happened there really did change students' lives on an individual level, but also on a greater level by who they were able to influence after. One of the stories that sticks out that was just really awesome to witness was the story of a girl named Erin. Erin was a freshman when she attended the last Seek conference. Erin grew up going to Catholic school and then came to college and continued going to Sunday Mass. She even joined a Bible study, but just was not engaged really deeply in her faith. She didn't want it to be a big part of her life. And Erin has since told me that she was struggling a lot during this time. She was trying to find worth and fulfillment in the party scene that a college campus offers. She was really focused on things that weren't making her happy, but she thought that they were. She had fallen into some bad friendships and had put her in some bad situations. She was feeling very, very guilty and worthless, and she didn't believe that she was truly worthy of being loved. Her Bible study leader invited her to come to Seek Conference, and she said yes. And at Seek, Erin's life changed. During adoration, she felt this urge to go to confession, and so she went to confession, and she confessed all of her sins and all this guilt and shame that she'd been feeling. And she said that she looked up at the priest, and she looked into his eyes, and she remembers how blue they were. She said, "I felt like I was looking in the face of Jesus. I felt like Jesus was looking at me. And all I felt was this feeling of being completely loved." And she, after confession, she went back to adoration, and she looked up at Christ in the Eucharist, and she saw how perfect and beautiful and pure he was. And she felt him say to her, "Erin, I love you. This is how I see you, as my beloved daughter." And from then on, Erin's life changed. She came back to campus and not only stepped away from those other things where she was trying to find happiness before, she stepped out of some friendships that were leading her in the wrong direction. But she started 2 Bible studies that next semester as a freshman and was leading a group of women in their faith, so on fire from the love that she had experienced in encountering Jesus at the last Seek conference. So obviously for Erin, Focus helped to provide an opportunity for her to grow in her faith. As you can see by how Erin's life was changed, this is a really awesome experience for college students to partake in. But as you can imagine, one of the biggest obstacles for students to go is the financial. So could you tell us a little bit about what people could do to help?
Sure. For anyone that's excited or maybe thinking, "Oh, I'd love to help some Temple students attend this conference." Yeah, first, praying would be great. Your prayers for the students to be open to coming will make a huge difference. And then secondly, on a financial level, you can email myself. My email is vince.sar tori@focus.org. So vince.sartori@focus.org. And I'm happy to facilitate that and help in any way in your giving or your help towards Temple students coming to the conference.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Yeah, so Vince, there seem to be a lot of opportunities for students who are on a campus that has a focus team for them to participate in these different things. But for anybody who's listening who might be a college student themselves or know a college student that doesn't have focus on their campus, are there any tips or suggestions you have for them to help live a dynamic faith?
Yeah, I think I have a couple tips. I think first and foremost to not forget to get involved in some way. So praying every day, making even like a 10-minute trip to the chapel every day and just spending 10 minutes there can be a big difference. It'll make a big difference in your experience in college. Going to Mass, obviously on Sundays going to Mass, but maybe once or twice outside the week or outside of Sunday, going to daily Mass, I would really encourage that. If you're at a non-Catholic university, there's probably something like a Newman Center or a parish nearby involved. Get connected with them. Or if you're at a Catholic university, they have a Catholic campus ministry. So getting plugged in some way, asking the chaplain or the campus ministers there some good questions. Don't be isolated, right? A reality of a college student now is that on social media in any given year, the hashtag alone will be tweeted or Instagrammed over 10 million times. And so in a this real way, even though we're around thousands of people, we can feel very isolated. Don't be isolated in your faith journey. Seek stuff out. So I would say find that Newman Center or find that Catholic campus ministry and get plugged in even a little bit with them. Obviously, you're invited to C Conference, but we also have mission trips. So maybe you're looking to do something different this summer or during your spring break. We have mission trips in the continental United States, in Latin America, South America, Africa, Europe, and Asia. If you're looking to go somewhere in the world to serve others, our mission trips are a great opportunity. So that's on the website focusmissions.org. You can go to check those out. Ultimately, I just want to encourage you in everything to really just, pursue your faith in any way, I would say. So I want to thank you all for listening. Again, my name is Vince. She's Lindsay. We're Missionaries with Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. Thank you for your time. And you can find us online at focusoncampus.org.
Shout to God with cries of gladness, for the Lord the Most High, the Awesome, is the great King over all the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, sing praise.
This morning we're welcoming in Aurora Griffin. She is the author of a new book. It's entitled How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard. Welcome, Aurora.
Good morning. Thank you.
What a provocative topic. First of all, Aurora, tell us a little bit about yourself. And by that I mean, when you got to Harvard, were you practicing Catholic and was your faith really strong? Or what's your background going into college?
Well, my dad used to teach me from the Baltimore Catechism when I was a child. So I was very well catechized. I actually never attended a Catholic school, not one day in my life. So I went to a Protestant high school, and there all of the things that I learned in the Baltimore Catechism served as apologetics. I could talk to my Protestant brothers and sisters about the points of our Catholic faith. And then by the time I came into Harvard, I was informed both by my catechetical training and inspired by the witness of truly Christian people I met in high school. So I did come in very strong about my faith. And committed to it from day one.
And talk a little bit about Harvard. So many people have a picture of the Ivies in their mind, and certainly various institutions vary from campus to campus. But what is the cultural, social life like at Harvard as it relates to faith and religion?
Sure, that's a great question. The the cultural climate at Harvard is driven often by ideas of leadership. So everybody is concerned that they have the leadership experience at Harvard and the success that they need to go on to the next achievement. So Harvard's a little bit unusual in that way, although that's going to be common at any elite institution. But I would say that the temptation, if you're looking at what might pull you away from the faith, the temptation would be more to make yourself your own god or be think that you have all the answers, not so much to get drawn into a party culture, although that exists at Harvard and any other school you want.
And tell us a little bit about the ideas behind the leadership, how it relates to faith. I mean, it began as a theological school and training for those who were going to be devout Christians in society. Where is that? How would you describe where Harvard is right now with regards to leadership and faith?
Oh, they're studiedly secular at this point, like any secular institution. They're very far from any theological roots they may have once had. I will say this, that I was surprised because I thought that Harvard would be more institutionally hostile to its students of faith, and I didn't find that at all. When the Satanists wanted to have their black mass at Harvard, the president of the university was not going to cancel the event. She was certainly not going to be super helpful to Christians, but she was going to attend the prayer in solidarity with us and to express that disrespecting Christians was not something that was permissible in Harvard's culture.
Talk a little bit about, first of all, your background. And so many Catholics don't even look at the Ivies because they consider them places where their children possibly might lose their faith. And I think that's a mistake we make a lot by not involving ourselves in established institutions such as the arts, journalism, the Ivies. People shy away from it. Did you recognize that and why you wanted to go to Harvard?
Well, Harvard for me had come up as something that was completely separate from my faith in a way. It was an impulse that started in me pretty young. I remember being about 10. And deciding I wanted to go to Harvard. And from that time, I didn't really want to go anywhere else. So it was more a matter of convincing my parents, who were involved with Thomas Aquinas College. That's a small liberal arts Catholic school near where I live in California. It's a fantastic program. And looking back on it, I think that the graduates of TAC will often get a better education than my peers at Harvard. I had to really go out of my way to get that kind of great books education there.
The point is
that I think for some people, going to a secular school as a Catholic is a good idea because we need leaders at these secular places to come and live out their faith in a public way. But that doesn't have to be everybody. It's also good to send people to Thomas Aquinas who have their faith and whose faith and intellectual experience of the faith is going to become so much deeper. All of these people are going to contribute to the church in different ways. I just hope that all of the kids of the Catholic parents aren't scared off from going to institutions like Harvard, because surprisingly, it was a great place to be Catholic.
Got great reviews about this book. Peter Kreft says the best way to keep your faith at any college is to read this book. And I wanted to let our listeners know a little bit about you. You graduated from Harvard magna cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa with a degree in classics. And you were also awarded a Rhodes Scholarship to study at Oxford. And you received a graduate degree in theology. So a great example of someone who is firm in their faith, taking advantage of the best of the institutions. And did you think that you were helping others see faith while you were just witnessing to your own beliefs?
I did. Thanks, Barbara. Everything that I received, those things that you listed off there, those are blessings from God, and those came to me because of my faith and never in spite of my faith. I would not have been able to have the kind of success that I did if I weren't Catholic, particularly in the process of applying for a Rhodes Scholarship. It was my Catholic professors who wrote me letters. It was my Catholic worldview that provided a compelling statement for an application. I was going to work on Catholic theology. It all really, for me, did come back to my faith. And I think that did witness to others who were around me. But they also witnessed to me. I found myself in a beautiful community of people at Harvard who attended daily mass together, who were interested in five or six different organizations that were all affiliated with the Catholic chaplaincy. It wasn't, you know, that if you read the book, you realize that it certainly was not a lone wolf situation. A lot of my success came from being part of a beautiful and supportive network.
Well, let's make that segue. The subtitle to your book is 40 Tips for Faithful College Students. Talk a little bit about what students can do when they get to an institution, a secular institution, to keep their faith. And I guess it would be sort of deadly if you're going to stay away from Mass. I mean, I think that would be one of the things that fuels your faith. But talk a little bit about these tips.
Sure. Yes, the very first thing that you want to do when you get to campus, and I ask students to kind of picture this moment in their mind when I talk to them, you know, kind of close their eyes and think about it. Their parents just left. They're settled into their dorms. And for the first time, they get to make their own decisions about their time. And I say, in that moment, you know, remember that you thought about it and go and find the church. That's the first thing that you want to do. Find out when masses are. Find out when the clubs meet. And just go and get plugged in from day one. A lot of other people sort of settle into their dorms, and they want to make their friends through who they meet, who they're living with. And that strategy doesn't work all that well because you don't necessarily have very much in common with people that you live with. But if you're looking for those deep friendships, you're going to have them with people who believe the very most important things in the world. So knowing to go seek them out of the parishes is great. In terms of spiritual growth, I think the best thing you can do is find out what time Mass is, make sure to get there every Sunday. And for me, going to daily Mass was what really anchored my time and helped me to settle into Harvard. It helped me to find my friends and to have a beautiful starting point for my day and for everything else I was doing.
Yes, I agree. And I know I have college students, and I often counsel them. College is such a noisy place, and there's so much going on and so much pressure, really, with regards to some of the subjects that the students are studying, whether it be science or math or the classics. It's tough. College is not an easy breeze, but sometimes you lose your way in the chaos and the noise and the temptations. I've always counseled silence. Sometimes it's just really critical in the course of a day to take 5 minutes and find silence, and hopefully that's a prayer that you can regather and reconnect yourself. Did you find that true?
Oh, certainly. And you know what? I'd even raise you on that because going to Mass is the fundamental. The next step after going to Mass is spending quiet time with our Lord, especially in like the context of adoration. I write in the book, you know, this is how you can do a holy hour. This is how you can do a holy half an hour. And it gives some examples of prayers you can say. But getting that time of quiet alone with our Lord to reorient yourself, to have your life refocus on the things that matter. I mean, even 5 minutes, I'm sure, does so much. But really, like, we need more than that. If I stop for 5 minutes, my brain is still going a million miles an hour. I really have to be intentional about carving out that space in my time and in my heart to let our Lord speak. And that's difficult, but part of my message is that even for college students, even when you're really busy, even if you're not a priest or a nun, this is important to be doing, and you can do it, and it's extremely rewarding.
I can imagine, Aurora, talk a little bit about how many decisions you had to make with regards to where you're going to do your postgraduate and whether you, you know, were even going to apply for the Rhodes Scholar. Talk about how important your faith life was in terms of just making daily decisions, whether or not you were going to stay in and study or spend social time or, you know, what your future was going to be. Talk about the importance of cultivating a prayer life for those decisions.
I appreciate that. Now, I think you get to a certain, the idea of living out your faith in college is that you don't have all of these different compartments of your life, right? That you don't have academics, and then extracurriculars, and then church, and, you know, then friends. It's that it's all one, right? That your whole life somehow can give glory to God. And I firmly believe that having your prayer life a certain way helps you to do this, where you offer up what you're doing to the Lord at the beginning of the day, morning prayer, or throughout the day at a daily mass, or even just these short one-line prayers, God help me to do this well right now. All of those help you to live an integrated life as opposed to a disintegrated life. And when you're living an integrated life, I'm not saying I did perfectly or even do now, but that's certainly the idea. When you do that, it becomes a lot more clear what you should spend your time doing and what your next decision should be. For me, the decisions after school were all very natural, although in a way I got magnificently fortunate in ways that I really didn't expect to. I never expected to win the Rhodes Scholarship. So, but to apply, what seems like a very natural thing to do. And then to make my application almost exclusively about my experience of faith also seemed pretty natural. And thanks be to God, it worked out and was what God wanted for me.
That's so important, too, because so many students, as they're writing their Common App essays, might feel, oh, if I mention faith, I'm going to, you know, immediately get eliminated. That's not something that anyone's going to want to hear. That's a great witness to say that you embraced it and it got you to the places you needed to go.
It did, and I don't think that that's always what happens. I do think that God sometimes allows us to fail in His name, and I think that that's okay. You know, there are certain times I can think where I brought up my faith in conversation, and people didn't like it. People got embarrassed, and that's okay too, because we're told that when we do that, we're blessed. So it's a win-win situation, bringing up our faith when we're not sure.
Wonderfully put. We're speaking with Aurora Griffin. She's the author of the book How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard. Many students, when they go away for the first time from home, don't really own their faith. Their faith has been something that's been passed on through their parents. Talk a little bit about, was there a moment when you had to embrace and say, this really is something I choose, and I choose it on my own, independent of how I was brought up? Did that moment come for you, or was that just always there?
I think for most people, that moment does come. I know very few people that are blessed with the kind of natural holiness that you would need to be raised and never have a blip. My moment of doubt came when I was in high school. I was about a junior in high school, and I just realized all of this stuff that my dad has been teaching me in the catechism, I'm just not sure that I believe it all. I'm not sure, I know it, I know how it makes sense together, but I'm just not sure any of it is true. And fortunately, at that time, I was at a great Protestant high school. I was surrounded by loving Christians who were there to answer all of my questions, and teachers who went out of their way to support me. And some Protestants got a hold of me, and they shook me up. They made me realize the message of the gospel for the first time. And once I realized that all of this is connected, that their insistence that Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, and all of this stuff I learned in the catechism, that this is all true, then I re-embraced it, but with so much more zeal, because I understood for the first time the radical claims of the gospel, and I also had the good formation to put those claims in place once I believed.
And
so really since then, my faith has been very strong.
Well, and that brings up an important point about community. How important is it? Nobody really gets the faith on their own. How important is it to have these groups of people that can encourage you in your faith, people who have found faith and are strong in their faith to help others who are not there yet?
Right. I think that's incredibly important. It's important for the people who are being brought along. Another point I bring up in the book is it's important for those people who are doing the mentoring. You grow so much from leading other people. You have to set an example. You have to be well-informed. Trying to encourage each other just makes everybody better.
Yeah, sometimes the teachers are the best learners. Talk a little bit about, I think one of the most things, common things I hear with people is they don't feel the presence of God. They don't have a sense of a personal God. They don't have a sense that God really cares about them, and that why would God be interested in the minutia of their life? There's a sense that, yeah, you can tell me about the faith, but I just don't ever feel the presence of God. What would you say to them?
I don't know how I could possibly feel that since I go to Mass every day and since I see our Lord lifted up on the altar telling me this is my body given for you physically every day. I don't know what it's like to struggle with the idea that God is not there and loving. I certainly have times of more distance and times of more consolation. I think that's just normal prayer life, but that enduring sense that God really might not be there, it just is not a reality for me because I combat that fear every single day in a physical way. I see him, you know, with my eyes, with faith, but see God every day.
I think it's a real thing for some people, and I don't know the quite perfect answer for it, but I do know that people really struggle with that. They have faith, but they just have never seen an interaction where it's moved them to the point where they have that, you know, that aha moment, come to Jesus moment. I guess it's something we can all pray for others who have not yet experienced that and lead them in ways of relationships that allow them to understand how important relationships are and how God is the father of all those relationships and he's the creator of all those relationships so that he, you know, is the perfect friend. He's the perfect spouse. He's the perfect person that if you're looking for a relationship to be in relationship with.
That's an excellent point, Barbara. I think another part of this that I neglected to mention is that when we as believers are trying to be saints that God made us to be, there gets to be this attractiveness about our lives. Other people look at our lives and they say, I want what that is, that joy. That becomes very real to them. And so if we can point others back to God in that, when people see that in us and they say, well, what do you have? And to the extent that we say, everything that you love about me, the joy, all of the best parts of myself are really your loving God, your loving Christ in me. That's
right.
Also very tangible. I mean, I don't think that it's possible to say any words that are going to take someone from unbelief to belief. It's a gift, and certainly we do have to pray, but our living examples and pointing people back to the Eucharist are two incredible tools.
Right, and I do think someone wiser than me once said that we're made for relationship, not rules. So I think the first thing to really do is to point out the relationship of God to us rather than necessarily going to the rules first, because maybe that wouldn't be the most effective approach.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, listen, tell me a little bit about why you wrote the book as we end up this wonderful conversation with Aurora Griffin, the author of How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard. Was there a particular reason you wanted to write this while you're so close to the subject?
You know, it's funny because I was never planning to write the book. People think I was sort of sitting in the corner of Harvard Yard somewhere scribbling away into notebooks, and and it just wasn't the case at all. I was inspired on Easter Sunday 2015 to write the book more or less out of the blue. The idea had never occurred to me before. I sat down sort of writing everything I could about this idea, and it was more or less there in full form. The title, Peter Crafe, the publisher, and 38 of the 40 chapters. So I really have to say that I think it was the Holy Spirit, and that gives me a lot of consolation because it's very clearly his project to do what he wants with it. You know, it's not really about me.
Well, you've done a wonderful job, and what a wonderful service it is for peers to read about the faith in college. It's not written by someone far removed from the subject. It's written from someone who's lived through it and recently lived through it and has a lot to offer. If you could give one piece of advice to someone that's in the book, what would you recommend that is the most important thing to keep your faith in a secular institution or even at a Catholic school?
Sure. Well, my go-to, but I think I've already said it enough times, is go to Mass.
The sacraments,
But I do think that, actually, the other thing that people overlook is going to confession. I think we get to be so afraid of the sacrament of confession, and yet it can be such, if you're feeling distant from God or distant from the Church or that things are just not quite right in your life for some reason, things aren't fitting, I found that going to confession is often just the right step in getting things to go the right direction. It can be hard, but it's never as hard as you think it's going to be, and it's always fruitful. So I just really encourage people that the Church, whether you're a college student at a secular university, at a Catholic university, you're not a student, whether you're anybody, the saints, The church's formula for making saints is the same, and it involves the sacraments. And to the extent that we open ourselves to those is the extent to which we make ourselves available to grow in grace.
Aurora, are you available as a speaker to speak on these topics, or where can people find out more about you? Do you have a blog, or where can they find the book?
Oh, yeah, I'd love that. So right now, my book is available on 3 social media platforms, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I'm currently in the process of building a personal website, but for now, anybody can get in touch with me. I monitor those 3 sites, and so you can send me a message on any of those, and I will get back to you. I've given tens of book talks now. I just got back from a book tour, so...
Well, there you've heard it. So if you want to bring Aurora to your parish for young adults, or sponsor her to speak at a secular institution or a college that you have a particular interest in, you know where to find her. And, well, we thank you so much for your time today, Aurora. Did you give out your email or Instagram or anything? Did you give out how people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, the best way would be through the book, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter site.
Oh, okay.
If you just look up my name or the name of the book,
How I Stayed Catholic,
you'll find them.
And the book is called How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard. Thank you so much for your time, Aurora.
Thank you. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.